Chapter 18, Christ's Example in Contrast with Formalism. Of the Lord Jesus Christ in his youth, the divine testimony is given, and the child grew, and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. After the visit to Jerusalem in his boyhood, he returned with his parents, and came to Nazareth, and was subject unto them. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature, and in favor with God and man. In the days of Christ, the educators of the youth were formalists. During his ministry, Jesus declared to the rabbis, "Ye do err, not knowing the Scriptures, nor the power of God." And he charged them with teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Tradition was dwelt upon, amplified, and reverenced far above the Scriptures. The sayings of men, and an endless round of ceremonies, occupied so large a share of the student's life, that the education which imparts a knowledge of God was neglected. The great teachers were continually enlarging upon little things, specifying every detail to be observed in the ceremonies of religion, and making its observance a matter of highest obligation. They paid tithe of mint and anise and cumin, while they omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. Thus there was brought in a mass of rubbish that hid from the view of the youth the great essentials of the service of God. In the educational system there was no place for that personal experience in which the soul learns for itself the power of a thus saith the Lord, and gains that reliance upon the divine word which alone can bring peace and power with God. Busied with the round of forms, the students in these schools found no quiet hours in which to commune with God and hear His voice speaking to their hearts. That which the rabbis regarded as superior education was in reality the greatest hindrance to true education. It was opposed to all real development. Under their training, the powers of the youth were repressed, and their minds were cramped and narrowed. The brothers and sisters of Jesus were taught the multitudinous traditions and ceremonies of the rabbis, but Christ himself could not be induced to interest himself in these matters. While hearing on every hand the reiterated "thou shalt" and "thou shalt not," he moved independently of these restrictions. The requirements of society and the requirements of God were ever in collision, and while in his youth he made no direct attack upon the customs or precepts of the learned teachers, he did not become a student in their schools. Jesus would not follow any custom that would require him to depart from the will of God, nor would he place himself under the instruction of those who exalted the words of men above the word of God. He shut out of his mind all the sentiments and formalities that had not God for their foundation. He would give no place for these things to influence him. Thus he taught that it is better to prevent evil than to attempt to correct it after it has gained a foothold in the mind. And Jesus would not by his example lead others to place themselves where they would be corrupted. Nor would he needlessly place himself in a position where he would be brought into conflict with the rabbis, which might in after years result in weakening his influence with the people. For the same reasons he could not be induced to observe the meaningless forms or rehearse the maxims that afterward in his ministry he so decidedly condemned. Though Jesus was subject to his parents, he began at a very early age to act for himself in the formation of his character. While his mother was his first human teacher, he was constantly receiving an education from his Father in heaven. Instead of poring over the learned lore handed down by the rabbis from century to century, Jesus, under the divine teacher, studied the words of God, pure and uncorrupted, and studied also the great lesson book of nature. The words, "Thus saith the Lord," were ever upon his lips, and "it is written," was his reason for every act that varied from the family customs. He brought a purer atmosphere into the home life. Though he did not place himself under the instruction of the rabbis by becoming a student in their schools, yet he was often brought in contact with them, and the questions he asked, as if he were a learner, puzzled the wise men, for their practices did not harmonize with the Scriptures, and they had not the wisdom that comes from God. Even to those who were displeased at his non-compliance with popular customs, his education seemed of a higher type than their own. The life of Jesus gave evidence that he expected much, and therefore he attempted much. From his very childhood he was the true light, shining amid the moral darkness of the world. He revealed himself as the truth, and the guide of men. His conceptions of truth and his power to resist temptation were proportionate to his conformity to that word which he himself had inspired holy men to write. Communion with God, a complete surrender of the soul to him, in fulfilling his word irrespective of false education or the customs or traditions of his time, marked the life of Jesus. To be ever in a bustle of activity, seeking by some outward performance to show their superior piety, was, in the estimation of the rabbis, the sum of religion, while at the same time, by their constant disobedience to God's word, they were perverting the way of the Lord. But the education that has God back of it, will lead men to seek after God, if haply they might feel after him, and find him. The infinite is not, and never will be, bound about by human organizations or human plans. Every soul must have a personal experience in obtaining a knowledge of the will and ways of God. In all who are under the training of God is to be revealed a life that is not in harmony with the world, its customs, its practice, or its experiences. Through study of the Scriptures, through the earnest prayer, they may hear his message to them, "Be still, and know that I am God." When every other voice is hushed, when every earthly interest is turned aside, the silence of the soul makes more distinct the voice of God. Here rest is found in him. The peace, the joy, the life of the soul, is God. When the child seeks to get nearest to his father, above every other person, he shows his love, his faith, his perfect trust. And in the Father's wisdom and strength the child rests in safety. So with the children of God. The Lord bids us, "Look unto me, and be ye saved. Come unto me, and I will give you rest. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him." Thus saith the Lord, "Cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land and not inhabited. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit."